League sources say the Lakers are looking for a big man, and Mitchell Robinson from the New York Knicks is one of the bigs that they're targeting. That's what I'm hearing in the aftermath so far after that just absolutely nuts Lakers, Mavericks, Jazz trade that happened in the wee hours of Saturday into Sunday. And to talk more about that, I'm bringing on my amazing good friend, Jason Gallagher, who is maybe a former Dallas Mavericks fan. And we went deep on that, and I offered him some trade ideas later in the show, cosplaying as Nico Harrison. Fun show coming up. Now joining me is my old friend, Jason Gallagher, big time now Dallas Mavericks fan. Jason, how are you doing, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, Kevin. I might amend that that intro just a bit. It might be former big time Mavs, Dallas Mavericks fan. I don't know. We have to really process and think about it. As you know, I sort of pride myself on fandom being a key part of my personality. And so, yeah, that's for the most part the only kind of insight I can really provide.
Are you really considering leaving the team, or is this more just a immediate, you know, emotional reaction to the news? Like Nico Harrison said in his press conference with Jason Kidd on Sunday afternoon, you know, time will tell, you know, if we win games, you know, maybe it'll change people's minds. I'm paraphrasing him, but do you think it could be an immediate reaction here for you?
It definitely could. I would like to sleep more than 3 hours to feel this out, but I'll say that the trade itself is shocking, and you've been covering the NBA for a long time, and you tell me if I'm misreading this. I think that the statements and the messaging after this trade has been just as shocking as the trade itself. None of it really makes sense. I saw your tweet quoting the very last quote, which was like, we'll be buried by then, or we'll bury ourselves.
And he was talking about how he says there'll be better in the future. And he says, the future to me is 3 to 4 years from now. The future 10 years from now, they'll probably bury me and Jay by then, or we'll bury ourselves.
Yeah.
That was the direct quote. I had multiple media members text me from other teams saying, oh, we're on a plane right now. I'm traveling right now. Is that a real quote? And I'm like, yeah, I watched it back twice to make sure I had it correct word for word. That's a real quote.
Yeah.
Is he really putting the best interest of the Dallas Mavericks long-term future in consideration here when he himself is admitting that at a press conference?
Yeah. I think that's what's most shocking is as the news started to trickle out, you know, the hardcore Mavs fans, the people that have been around the block a time or two that understand that stuff will come out in the future. I listened to Bill Simmons's podcast where he was like, there must be something more. Everybody is sort of in agreement on that front. Mm-hmm. And the more you hear and the more you see it with your own eyes, him speaking it, the answer might actually be they thought this was the smartest thing to do. And that is alarming. I mean, Nico, I don't have the exact quotes, maybe you do, but he said that there was no indication that Luka wanted out. There was no indication that he wouldn't sign an extension. And the Lakers were the only team they spoke to. That's shocking. That's shocking. And so it's not just the trade. And we can get into sort of the relationship that I feel like Mavs fans have with this team. But it's not just the trade that's so surprising. It's the messaging afterwards. It's so crazy. And there's such a disconnect between what is going on at the top, you know, of the Mavs, you know, front office and what fans actually love about this team and have loved about this team for, you know, several decades now.
My initial reaction was like, oh, Luka must have demanded a trade. He must have asked out to go directly to the Lakers, one of the two teams that has long been rumored as his potential destination if he were to ever leave Dallas. It was always Lakers and Heat. Always Lakers and Heat for years. That's what it's been. I've always heard Luka loves the weather in Miami. He loves the franchise there. I've always heard L.A. with the weather there as well, but the star platform he'd have.
He loves the ocean.
The ocean. Same stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, you were with J.J. Redick when he interviewed Luka. like, you've been around him. You know, like, he's talked about, I believe, going to P3 his first time in LA and all that stuff. So, like, I think with Luka, there's a lot of, been for years, connections with LA and Miami. So I figured, maybe he demanded a trade. And then everything comes out saying, no, that didn't happen. I asked around a bunch of executives around the league. I'm like, hey, is it possible his agent Bill Duffy might have, like, secessioned this situation here and, like, said to Nico Harrison, if you don't trade him now, we're going to sideline him for the rest of the season. And then this summer, we're going to make your life hell. And you're going to trade him then and you have no leverage 1 year ahead of his free agency. And everybody said to me, that's not Bill Duffy. Bill Duffy wouldn't do that. Bill Duffy doesn't operate that way. Everybody said that. Every single person I mentioned that thought to. And so, the people who wonder if there's something more here, I think the only something more could be related to what we already know, that they had issues with his conditioning, issues with the work ethic, and that maybe there's some concern for injury here. But I don't know, man. Like, that doesn't seem like enough to trade 25-year-old Luka for 31-year-old, perennially injury-prone Anthony Davis. It just doesn't make sense.
And it doesn't explain. I mean, that's the problem, is when you examine this from every single angle, it doesn't explain so many things. It doesn't explain why you don't make the world know that, hey, this guy's available. Even if he had a short list, explore that short list. Leverage them against each other. Is this your first time walking the face of the earth? What are you doing? So that's what's really frustrating. And I'm just going to, this might be the moment where I really think, you know, there's a new ownership group in town. Obviously, Nico's fairly new. There is an identity. There's a real identity when it comes to a sports franchise and their hardcore fans. You grew up a Boston fan. There's just like an indescribable attachment. And there is a unique identity with each fan base. And that's just not basketball. It's sports in general. You know, Philly fans have their own personality. Everything. Like, and what the Dallas Mavericks and their fan base had with this franchise is decades of cheering for a European superstar, a transcendent offensive talent who lacked in defensive ability. And you went through the ups and the downs and the journeys with that. And Dallas was lucky enough to be able to have that passed on to a new guy that they were willing to say, who was endorsed by the old guy, by the way, who was willing to say, hey, we're going to go on this journey with you. And based on everything that's come out from Nico thus far, he doesn't understand that is a huge reason why Mavs fans are Mavs fans in Dallas, a culture that is a football culture. We chose to go against the grain. We're going to follow our basketball team led by a tall, lanky German guy. And this is now a core part of what it means to be a Dallas Mavericks fan. And this and the messaging and everything like that is just a massive slap in the face to not just Luka, but to the fans that bought into this idea. The idea that the first words that came out of Nico's mouth was defense wins championships. That's the first statement from Tim McMahon that came out, defense wins championships. And then he opened his press conference and said it like 3 or 4 times, as if this isn't the same Dallas Mavericks franchise that won a championship with a unbelievable offensive talent and they figured out how to fill the holes around him. That's the identity of this fan base's culture. I'm on Twitter every other day arguing with people about why Dirk is better than KG all time, because defense doesn't actually win championships. X factor offensive talent wins championships, and then you fill the holes around him, because you cannot fill just generational talent, offensive talent. You can't fill that, and that's what he gave away.
They don't have it. AD's not that. AD's an unbelievable talent, top 75 totally. All time, but he's not that type of level offensive player, to your point.
And I think that this is such going to be such a unique situation, unlike anything we've ever seen, because you're already seeing the fans sort of turn. We've seen that in sports, but I can't remember seeing that in basketball to this degree. I mean, people are already vandalizing the property.
They're protesting outside. I saw
they're
that.
Protesting. They wrote, and did you see the video clip where somebody wrote something about Nico Harrison with some vulgar language, and they're trying to power wash it off and they can't get it off. And the fans are just cheering in the background. It's crazy.
And I saw the signs. I saw fire Nico signs. Nico is corrupt. I saw those signs. I did not see that.
I really think like the first time Luka goes to Dallas, the reception's going to be like crazy. I mean, it's going to be 99. I feel like 90% of the people are going to be cheering for him, possibly booing them. Like, it's going to be crazy. I think this is going to be one of the wildest things I've seen as a sports fan. And so when it comes to my relationship with the Mavericks and my fandom with the Mavericks, look, I mean, we all make decisions for ourselves and where we want to go. I mean, you stopped being an official fan, you know, years ago. And hey, I live 5 minutes away from the Oklahoma City Thunder Arena. I go to games probably once, twice a week. Pretty fun team. When Sam Presti had to blow up his franchise, he wrote a detailed, thoughtful letter in the Daily Oklahoman that was like, here is where my mind is at, and here is what we need to do, and I promise, and I'm sorry. It was somebody who understood that the relationship between fans and its organization is very, very important. And I cannot believe that the Dallas Mavericks just showed that they do not give a crap about that.
This is where my upbringing as a Boston sports fan is complicated with this situation, because on one hand, I understand franchises making tough decisions. Red Sox trading Nomar in 04, you know, Celtics trading Antoine Walker when I was 12 years old, a fan favorite. The Patriots cutting these key defensive players, Lawyer Malloy trading Richard Seymour, the Celtics when they traded KG and Paul Pierce. But none of those are comparable to this. All of those franchises, the Patriots still had Brady and Belichick. The Red Sox still had David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez. The Celtics, for years, despite some of the tough decisions, still had Paul Pierce. And Pierce and KG were old at the end when they were traded, clearly on the decline. There's no comparable to somebody at the center, the face of an organization who represents the fabric of a city, as you said, and the way Luka does being traded as he's maybe just entering the prime of his career. He turns 26 later this month. He's still super young. He could still be getting better. That could happen in Los Angeles now. And so I think your point about the emotional aspect, Jason, is a really good one here. Like, everything has been more just kind of cutthroat. Our defense is better here. All the stuff that's clearly leaked. Nico during the press conference said, oh, I would never, you know, he was asked, you know, are you implying that Luka wasn't part of this culture you're trying to build, with saying that AD adds to the culture that you're trying to build? And he's like, no, 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 I would never say that. AD is just additive to what we have and what we're trying to be. It's like, no, all these leaks, yeah. Everything has been about, like, Luka's fat. Luka has horrible habits.
And he does. And it's like I think not to reference the Bill pod too much, but the
Russillo's joke about the cigarette.
He was like, he could be dribbling the ball down with a cigarette, and you don't do this. And
so I think, good.
I think one of the things that I would really be curious if you were to poll 100 random Mavs fans, would you rather have a defensive juggernaut that might, you know, or do you want to take swings? And that it's the kind of fan base that would rather take swings and lose with their guy than become this kind of franchise. I fully believe that. And you're seeing it sort of play out online. I mean, it takes a lot to unify Mavs fans. It takes a lot to unify NBA national media folks, and everybody is aligned that this is baffling, from except for Kendrick Perkins, who's like, this makes a total sense. Other than him, everybody is like, I can't believe this. I've talked to everybody under the sun, and everybody is shocked at what you're, to your point, to Bill Duffy. I mean, same people. I have people that know the situation directly and that are like, bro, this isn't a lie here. I'm not lying to you. He did not know. He did not know this was coming. This is really out of the blue for us. No explanation. It makes any sense, at least to me or anyone who has eyes or ears or half a brain.
What would you say to Nico Harrison directly if you were in a room with him right now? Look into the camera and speak to Nico, Jason.
Nico, you've reached idiocracy. Do you know that term? It's where you think you've gotten so smart that you've actually kind of circled around, and now you're actually at the, like that's the word. It's not idiocy. It's idiocracy. It's you've overthought this one a little bit. You did not zag while everyone was zigging. You did not do that. I know you think you did that, but you did not do that. And my worry for him and the thing, it's like, it's actually not even just him I would speak to. It's the ownership group. It's that if you want to maintain what, you know, this is, you have to understand that there's a relationship that needs to be massaged, managed, everything like that between your fan base and your organization. And again, it just feels heartless. The statements that came out, I mean, the press release that it felt like we traded Dorian Finney-Smith. It was like not even acknowledging the fact that we just traded a generational talent. I mean, it's unreal. You were with me on draft night. I preemptively bought a cigar and put it in my hat in case somebody was dumb enough to let Luka fall to Dallas. Wow. I'm speechless. Actually, I'm not speechless. I'm talking too much, but I'm having a hard time here, Kevin.
We're going to take a quick break, and then when I come back, I'm going to role play as Nico Harrison and try to defend the deal to you.
Oh, this could get ugly.
All right, we're back. Now I'm role-playing as Nico Harrison. Jason, I understand all of your concerns here, all of them.
Yeah.
You're right. I haven't been emotional enough in understanding what Luka meant. But I think you don't give enough credit to me in the sense that we feared that he could leave, that he could demand a trade after signing that contract extension, that his time in Dallas may not have been long here, despite all of the improvements we've made around the team here. We added PJ Washington, drafted Derek Lively, got Daniel Gafford. The franchise is in a better position to win than it's ever been with him. And yet we still didn't feel full confidence that even if we signed him this offseason to a $345 million contract extension, that he was going to want to stay long-term with us. And so we got out ahead of that and we made this deal that we felt gives us an opportunity here. And maybe we didn't get as many picks as we could have if we opened this up, but there's also risk in doing that too. Maybe we end up getting less. Maybe the Lakers gain some leverage in the situation. Maybe it gets ugly like the Jimmy Butler situation. So we were quiet about it and strategic about it and made this calculated risk to hopefully maintain our championship upside for the next 3 to 4 years.
Interesting. Well, I appreciate your time and honestly, your candor here behind the scenes and something that you definitely would not do in the press conference I just witnessed you at. But that is all very interesting. And I think that a part of the job of the general manager is to consider the business aspect of all of this too. Yes, you run the risk if you open things up. Let's pretend that you felt really, really uneasy that Luka was going to stay long term. And oh my gosh, we've built this unbelievable roster around him, by the way. And because of that, you felt you needed to make a move quickly. I am not quite understanding why you wouldn't shop him around, or at least quietly shop him around, or at least handle this in a way that ensures your fan base, that you're actually maximizing this unbelievable asset. So if you want to take all the emotion about it, let's talk about him like he is an asset, because that's what he is in your eyes, clearly. But he is an asset that you clearly didn't value to the extent that you should have. And a part of maximizing the value of an asset is that at the very least you maintain face in front of your fans. And maybe that doesn't matter to you, but I think it would matter to your bosses. You know, the one thing about the Pat Riley, Jimmy Butler situation is that Miami Heat fans have no doubt that Pat Riley is trying to get the best possible deal for Jimmy Butler, despite the situation. And Dallas Mavericks fans cannot say the same thing about you, because there's so much unknown out there. Everything you said was a decision maker, a leader who's leading out of fear. And I don't know any great leaders that lead out of fear.
I'm crying, not laughing.
I love the jacket.
You hurt me. You hurt me.
You don't want to know
hurt my feelings.
You want to know something, Kevin? Is that I took notes and I was like, real cosplay. Kevin O'Connor, Nico Harrison cosplay is a better GM than real Nico Harris. Like, what the speech you just gave was way better than any, like, you just put more thought into that than anything he said. You watched the presser.
Off the dome.
It was, I know, but that's what I'm saying is that, like, actually the PR around it is staggeringly bad. It's that, like, and you threw me off because I was like, yeah, I mean, I feel like you're playing another character right now because that's not what he's saying. He's actually saying the opposite. He's saying, no, we didn't have any indication he would leave. No, we didn't think he wasn't going to sign. Like, no. Yeah, it was just so like, yeah. Hey, and credit Rob Pelinka. What a guy. It's like, what are you doing right now? That's what he did. He did that. And so your version of Nico really threw me off because I was like, this ain't him. I mean, we can pretend, I guess, but this is not him.
Oh, so I didn't get the part?
No, you did not get the part. You were overqualified. You were Daniel Day-Lewis applying to be in a Taco Bell commercial is what that was. Ridiculous. Your jacket looks great.
All right, continuing as Nico. Now I'm Nico again.
Okay. All right, here we go.
You have to understand, Jason, though. Despite everything you said, I understand. I get it. I totally understand here. If we're in the NBA Finals again in June, another great matchup against Boston or Cleveland or Milwaukee. Our team now, we have Kyrie Irving as the engine of our offense. He's been stellar this season without Luka out there. Yeah. He's managed to keep this team afloat. We're in the playoff race still, despite not having Luka for so long while dealing with a calf injury that we worry about long term. And now we have Spencer Dinwiddie off the bench as well, or occasionally starting alongside him. We have tons of wings and shooters. We have Quentin Grimes and Klay Thompson, Najee Marshall. We have PJ Washington, who I acquired last year, by the way, and you love, Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively to play alongside AD. We have the flexibility now to play with two bigs. We can have AD roaming off ball. We can have just AD out there. We have insane amounts of lineup flexibility to match up against anybody in the entire league. Whereas with Luka and Kyrie, there were some diminishing returns. And he did run out of gas in June last year. And that concern for us hasn't gone away, despite his amazing talents, that he's somebody that can last that long. We know Anthony Davis can win a championship. We know he can elevate his play to another level deep in the postseason. And now we have him on our squad to have still a high-level offense and different wrinkles because of AD's ability to playmake and create as a big. And now our defense is even better. And by the way, now we have an additional first-round draft pick and Max Christie. If we wanted to flip him, maybe we keep him, but we have that pick as well that we can move to make further additions if we really wanted to.
Totally. Totally. Well, I will say that, yes, starting with your let's just keep it on the basketball court. Let's just
talk. Perk was right, Jason. Perk's right.
Perk's right. Yeah, that's yeah. The great ones say that all the time. the back to the sort of on-court stuff, the, hey, what if we make it to the finals? Hey, you know, let's talk about the playoffs. Okay.
Won't you be happy if we make it to the finals?
Yeah, you know, starting with Kyrie. I watched that finals last year. I don't know if you did, but I was not one of those people that ever succumbed to the temptation to trash Luka in the finals because I don't know if you remember, but nobody else showed up. The loss to Boston was not on Luka Doncic, and you know it, and I know it, and everybody watching knew that. It was because Kyrie Irving, the guy who is your new offensive engine, fell apart. You saw it and I saw it. Everybody saw it in an unbelievable way. He was not there. This team you have built beautifully around Luka. And when it was working, they were the 2 seed in the West. and climbing. When the team finally got healthy, they actually had like the second best record in that month stretch where they were actually healthy. And as far as Luke Kyrie being the offensive engine that's keeping them alive in the playoffs, bro, I don't know if you've watched the last 2 months of Mavericks basketball, but it's not been pretty. It's not been pretty. Yes, they have beaten an Oklahoma City team, but I don't think anybody thinks that's sustainable to the degree that they did it in. And so I don't know, man. I guess adding AD makes them more competitive for sure. But do you think it's actually worth pissing off the fan base, putting your reputation on the line for the possibility that something could possibly work rather than try to take a run at a guy who's taken you to two different conference finals in the last 3 years with two very different rosters? Is this you trying to rescind the trade? Because that's what I think you ought to do.
Like, I had a voicemail from Pat Riley.
Oh, did you?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, was it just him chuckling the whole time? I mean, what it's just like,
he complimented me for my courage, actually, because like Pat Riley, he's not worried about the way fans are going to react and the protesters outside. Pat Riley's always done what's best for the franchise, never had any fear. And that's who I'm trying to channel.
Yeah, but he's done what's best for the franchise. And I don't totally understand how you have done that. I don't understand how you have done that. You've traded a generational
player. It's my job to make tough decisions. My job to make tough decisions.
I let you talk. You traded a generational talent entering his prime for an older player who, by and large, is not the most healthy individual in the NBA. And you did not maximize your future capabilities as well.
I've known AD since he was a young pup.
Okay.
He's a hard worker.
Is that what we're doing? Yeah. I just know him. Okay, great. You've known a lot of people for a long time. You also botched the Steph Curry shoe deal. So what we're doing?
I only call them Seth.
Look, it's fine.
That's it.
I know you're trying to make the basketball argument. I really don't see... When you talk about, I mean, basketball and the decision making that's involved is a game of risk reward. I don't think the upside is anywhere close to the downside. In terms of probability, there's just no way you can convince me of that. And even if you make the finals, this is what's going to be the crappy part. Even if you make the finals, you will still lose a contingent of fans that maybe that doesn't matter to you, but it's not fun. It's not going to be that fun. I promise you that. It's going to be weird. You just signed the people that the ownership group, the fan, everybody that is invested in this situation. You have sold up the river for something that is so difficult to accomplish. You understand what seed are Dallas in right now? That, I mean, they're what, 9-10, somewhere in that range, right?
We currently are the 8 seed right now. We're only 4 games back from the 4.
My apologies.
4 games back from Denver now. We're getting AD back on the court very soon. Totally. We're very confident we'll be able to win some games and move up some standings and hopefully get home court so we can have those great Mavericks fans in the stands for game 1 and 2 at home. First round.
You're a very optimistic guy, and I think if you would show that optimism towards the generational talent you had, I think that there could have been a lot accomplished. That's my bit. So I don't think that anything you've said thus far is actually reality. It's a lot of if this, then this, if this, then this, if then this. And that's basketball, sure. But you had a beloved figure in Dallas who it was working around. I don't see how you view last year's playoff as some sort of failure. That's crazy.
Well, when we win, Jason, the frustrations are going to go away, okay? The frustrations are going to go away when we win games. And you know, I think we're better set up for the next 3-4 years now. Luka may not have, you know, we'll see. It's his decision. He's the one who could have made that choice this summer to ask out, and that could have screwed us. But now we have AD locked up for multiple years in a situation he's happy to be. He waived the trade kicker. I've known him for many years now. The next 3-4 years, that's our future right now. I'm not too worried about the next 10 years. I'm not too worried about that. We're trying to win a championship over these next 3 to 4 years. And so, Jason, I appreciate your concern, but as I said, when we're hoisting that Larry O'B trophy in June, I'm sure you'll be out there celebrating and happy and smoking another cigar and having a great time.
But you probably won't. End of story. Who's scoring, Nico? Who's scoring against the Celtics in the finals?
Kyrie. Kyrie was off last year. He was off.
Oh.
We've surrounded him with shooters. We added one of the greater shooters of all time in Klay Thompson, a potent weapon.
You look at me dead in the eyes right now, Nico. Nico, what are you talking about? It wasn't just last year. Every time he goes to Boston, he has a difficult time. And this is outside of any sort of mental component to the relationship between Kyrie and Boston. This is straight up. They don't have the personnel to score against Boston. They do not have that personnel. They don't have that. They don't have that. They do not have that playmaker. The people they're going to put on Kyrie are big. They're going to be big and hounding. And now they don't have to worry about another guy. They can just put all their eggs into that basket, because what's Kyrie going to do? He's going to get doubled and swing it to who? Najee the Knife Marshall. Good luck.
We'll take a quick break, and when we're back, since I like you so much and appreciate your feedback, I'm going to give you some trade ideas that I have. All right, Jason, thanks again for all your feedback and how I've handled the situation. I got a couple trade ideas for you. First of all, you know, I'll tell you what, one of the names that we've been looking at in recent months is Kyle Kuzma. Kuzma really has struggled this year with the Wizards. Maybe he'll be better in Dallas. What would you think if we went and got Kuz?
I wouldn't know how to process that. Thank you very much. Thanks for asking, though. But I don't think that's going to improve the roster to the degree that you think it might. I'm not sure what you're willing to give up for Kyle Kuzma. Would love to hear that.
Bag of balls. Not much. Okay. Real cheap.
Well, I'm not sure about that one, but
okay.
That doesn't move me. That doesn't lift my spirit here on this Sunday. Okay.
All right.
Afternoon.
Okay. Well, I've got some other names for you. Some guys that are involved in the trade market right now. Names you know. Cam Johnson from the Nets. You met him recently.
Love him.
On your show. You met Cam Johnson. Really good guy. What if we offered Daniel Gafford, Najee Marshall, and a 2025 first to go get Cam Johnson? Would you like that?
Maybe. I really like... If we're speaking just basketball, I really like Daniel Gafford. I really do. And I think that
Lively will be back. Derek's going to be back before the playoffs.
I think that is an X factor that has always worked in Dallas's favor, is this sort of length that they can sometimes present on the defensive end.
That's why we got AD, huh?
Yeah.
What do you think, huh?
Yeah, totally. Definitely not having...
Gotcha.
You didn't catch me, okay? I think part of the advantage is that we have a tank who is our primary playmaker. That was also an advantage, a nice advantage, that was so big that you couldn't do anything with, but somehow still so quick. That was the advantage. But I'll say this. I like Cam Johnson. I think any team would be lucky to have him. And I'm not sure that... Again, I'm not sure that's the needle pusher that you think it might be. Again, these are not moves made in a vacuum here, Nico. These are moves made after you've traded away a guy who, by the way, can I just say this? And I said this last night. I heard Bill say this.
I think I just care more about winning championships than
you. Got it. All. Here we go. Okay. Yeah. Totally. So he is Luka Doncic is currently. Right now, if you look at 25-year-olds in the NBA, there's not many that you could say still have the ability and the potential to go down as top 10 of all.
Sorry. Just thinking about another trade that I'm going to be telling you later. Yeah, just a laugh.
Do you understand what I mean by this? It's you know, again, is it going to happen? Who knows? But based on the numbers he's put up, based on the accomplishments he's had thus far, we're talking about that kind of player. And so when you bring up the name Kyle, didn't want to get traded to Dallas last year because he wanted a shot at competing in the postseason. Kuzma, it doesn't move me. Cam Johnson doesn't move me right now because you're talking about a LeBron Jordan-esque caliber player, and you're also then bringing up Brandon Bass and be like, what about him?
Well, we got modern Bill Russell and Anthony Davis, so.
Oh my God. Continue.
Another trade idea. Okay. This one you might like more. Add some more firepower to our offense after trading Luka. Trade, I know it would hurt. I'd be really cutthroat to do this. Trade Klay Thompson, Daniel Gafford, Najee Marshall, and one first round pick to go get Zach LaVine.
No. What do you think? With you, Nico. Seek help, Nico. Literally, go. What are you talking about? I didn't even hear the rest of the trade. I heard the first three things and I blanked out. Like, what are you talking, Nico? You have to go talk to someone. Is this a cry for help? What is going on? I've never seen somebody self-sabotage their own name more than this. Repeat that trade again.
You really wouldn't want Zach LaVine for Klay Thompson, who's old, Daniel Gafford, when we have Lively and AD, and Najee Marshall, who's a very good player that we acquired, but 30% shooter. Maybe Quentin Grimes gets some more minutes if we trade Marshall. You wouldn't like that upgrade in the backcourt?
Was there any other parts of the trade?
A first round pick, the 2025.
No, I don't like that trade.
Okay. That's all right. Never mind that one. I
will say this, okay? I appreciate the thinking.
I thought you liked scorers. I thought you liked scorers who don't play defense. That's what I thought you liked. I thought you might like that one, Jason.
Yeah. Okay. All right. This is what you just did is like the first time I played chess with Isaac. I'll never forget. He moved his first pawn and then he said, checkmate. And I was like, that's not how chess works. That's what you just did to me. I'll say this. I do appreciate you thinking about the fact that this roster was specifically designed around the generational talent you had. So when it comes to say, you know, I just, it's hard to, you're right. I mean, there might have to be significant moves because this roster was designed around Luka Doncic, explain that line of thinking.
Listen, Jason, I understand. Like, you're coming from a place of truth. And my place of truth is that we need to replace an aspect of that, what we're lacking without Luka now. Adding more firepower is our priority right now, one of our priorities. And I was listening to a great podcast, the Kevin O'Connor Show with Yahoo Sports, and he detailed these stats about LaVine. Besides last year when LaVine was out, 45% on catch and shoot threes the last four or five seasons. That's the fourth of 150 players without at least 500 attempts, 37% on dribble jumper threes. That's 11th of 45 guys with at least 500 attempts. 45% guy from mid-range, 63% on unassisted shots at the rim. He's caught the second most lobs of any guard over this time frame. He's a versatile threat, adds a different dimension for us. And we have some support now with Christie and Grimes and these guys that could replace those Najee Marshall minutes. We have AD who could help replace Gafford and add that length that you spoke so highly of. It would give us even more upside as a team. And I know it hurts without Luka, but our goal is to win here. Okay. So you don't like that one still? You don't like it? You don't like those stats? You just tuned out?
I'm of two minds, Nico. I'm of two minds. One, this feels like getting the information that the sun is going to explode. And then you were like, yeah, but I got a brand new electric car. just doesn't seem to matter. And that's my first thought. My second thought is I genuinely do wish
Luka actually gifted me a Cybertruck a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah, a couple weeks ago. I also heard he closed on a house recently in Dallas. Wow, so business.
They didn't have enough garage space for the truck. That's why I said he gave
it. But super nice guy. My second thought is that I would prefer cosplay Nico to run the Dallas Mavericks than real Nico, because you've shown a level of at least thought in process into it, then, and you at least understand what you are supposed to say and not supposed to say. Like, cosplay Nico, could you imagine a world in which you sat in front of a microphone and said, "They're the only team we called"? Shout out Rob Pelinka. That is a real thing that real Nico said wholeheartedly in front of people and cameras and microphones. He said that.
Ten years from now, they'll probably bury me and Jay by then, or we'll bury ourselves.
I was like, "What is this? An episode of Game of Thrones? Why are we speaking this way? What are you?" "Oh, we'll bury ourselves." Dun, 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 dun. Like, what in the world was that?
I got one more thing.
That is genuinely what's crazy. And not to say, to put this, to just put an aside here, it's that, you know, some of the hardcore Mavs people in our lives, Kirk Henderson and these folks, it's just crazy. All night, we're just texting, like, there's going to be more that comes out tomorrow that's going to make this make a little bit more sense. And it's just like, it's so crazy that that hasn't happened. And in fact, the opposite has happened. More has come out to support the notion that this was something that Nico actually really wanted to do, because he just really wanted to do it. And my guy is just a gambler, you know? They might bury me. Who gives a shit?
I got one last trade for you, Jason, as Nico Harrison. And this one might make you just shut your computer off because you're so excited about the possibility, okay? All right? This is for a player who loves Dallas. He loves Dallas a lot. We know that.
Got it.
Going to trade PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, Najee Marshall, and a 2025 first-round pick for Zion Williamson.
I'm worried about you, fake Nico. I'm actually like worried about your mental state. I think that
might be the worst trade idea ever.
That might be the worst trade idea. I can't even
take it off the jacket. Take it off the Nico jacket. That would be the funniest possible trade. Like, oh, before Thursday, of all the trades that could happen in the NBA, that would be the funniest possible trade after everything about Luka, the conditioning and all that. If they were to trade for Zion,
I would legitimately be like, this is actually a troll. Like, it, you know, I have to go in just a second, but I'll just say that, you know, you're in a dark place when you're reading the conspiracy theories and you're just like, that makes the most sense out of all the things I've read today. It's like Kyrie's a sleeper agent. And it's like, well, it makes more sense than trade Luka for Anthony Davis.
Jason.
You can't really believe this is a good trade, right?
I don't believe it's a good trade. I gave him an F plus on my reaction podcast on Saturday night or Sunday morning.
The plus is generous.
The plus is generous. The plus is just, you know, out of the possibility that, hey, like, what if he's right? Like, what if Luka goes downhill from there? But in reality, it's horrible value back. How do you not get multiple first round draft picks? How do you not even get a pick swap? It blows my mind. It's just clearly a franchise that doesn't have the ability to proper value its best player and figure out the best way to maximize value. When Rudy Gobert gets five firsts and Donovan Mitchell gets five firsts and Mikal Bridges gets five firsts, it's just mind blowing how they don't manage to get that.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that's why I keep coming back to this. There's this like on court component, there's this team building component, and then there's just basic, do you understand that how do you understand the engine that makes sports work is that relationship between fan base, fans. And I think this was an utter betrayal on top of everything else, on top of all of the incompetency. It feels like an utter betrayal of your fan base. And I think that it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a miracle for it to work out. And I'm not sure I'm taking that risk if I'm them.
Well, I'm hopeful it turns into a good story for Mavericks fans, but I'm not optimistic about it. I'm just not.
Me too. As a former Mavericks fan. Anyways, okay, buddy. Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, Jason. Have a good rest of your Sunday.
All right, appreciate it.
Thank you again to Jason Gallagher for joining me. That was a fun
podcast, also a little bit of a therapy session, it felt like, for Jason at the beginning of this show. Always enjoy talking Mavericks and NBA with Jason. Hope you enjoyed it as well. Please give us a 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple, a thumbs up on YouTube, and subscribe as well. It does help out the show very, very much if you do that. We'll have a hell of a lot more content talking about this trade in the coming days and maybe even the coming weeks over at Yahoo Sports. So please be sure to check out the website as well to stay tuned there. Thanks to Emmy and Mike for hopping on a Sunday to record this show. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend and talk to you again later this week with the trade deadline coming up on Thursday.